What you are currently witnessing is one of the most common fears. It can have a significant impact on one's physical and emotional well-being. It shows up in cold sweats, dry tongue, anxious thoughts. The culprit? Public speaking. Speaking in public awakens fear in most people. So we're going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to allow everyone here the chance to come up and do some public speaking. Let's conquer those fears, okay? I'm kidding. We're not going to do that. Just this half is going to come up. I'm kidding. So glossophobia is the fear of public speaking, and a phobia is a persistent and excessive fear. And for a long time, it was said, and therefore it was assumed to be true, that public speaking was the most common fear among Americans. In 2014, Chapman University set out to see if that was true, and in the 10 years since then, they've been tracking America's changing fears. So every year, they poll over 1,000 Americans and ask them about 85 specific fears, like sharks, and ghosts, and volcanoes, and yes, public speaking. So here are the results from 2024, their top 10 fears of that year. Of the people polled, 65% feared corrupt government officials, the number one fear. That was followed by people I love becoming seriously ill, cyber terrorism, people I love dying, not having enough money for the future, it goes on. Did they get it right? Any of your fears up there? Is there anything up there that you don't fear to some degree? Right? We fear what we don't know, what we can't control, what we don't understand. We fear the worst, and it seems like the worst keeps getting closer and closer to home. That's why currently we're in a teaching series called Faith Over Fear. We're looking at some of our most common fears, and then we're discovering God's power over those fears. But we begin this whole series with this understanding: the corruption and death, not having enough, not being enough, the fears that reach into all of our lives at some level or another, those fears have been already overcome. Right? We talked about that on Easter, that Jesus overcame death and the grave. And all the fears that we have, those fears are overcome. We begin with that truth. But fear still exists. Right? Sometimes it's healthy. Sometimes fear can guard us. Right? It can protect us. It can keep us from climbing a fence that's meant to keep danger away. Other times, fear is unreasonable and it's habitual. Fear can be a protector, but a lot of times it's an enemy, and we have to know the difference. Sun Tzu, the author of The Art of War, said, "Know your enemy and know yourself, and in 100 battles you will never be in peril." So in order to choose faith over fear, we have to know our enemy. So today we are looking at a specific fear, the fear of the devil, because we have to know our enemy. Right? And the devil, what he does is he brings fear into our life. So we're going to look at the origin of fear, the end of fear, and the solution for fear. Before we do that, let's pray. God, we thank you that you have overcome, that in your name, in Jesus, there is victory. There's life. And we want to live in the freedom of faith in who you are, what you have already done, what you're doing now, what you promised to do in the future. And Holy Spirit, you can do what you will do, but we ask that you would be here today to change us, to change our lives, to move in this place. God, would you use my words in spite of me, and would we see Jesus above all else? And it's in his name. All the church said, amen. Is it a little dark in here? Can you guys see your notes and stuff okay? There we go. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke, and from the command of his breath, the world was formed. Right? Light came into darkness, chaos became order, and emptiness swarmed with life. And then that breath, the breath that had separated waters, the breath that had burned at the speed of light, was so gently and lovingly blown into dust to make a man. And then God gave that man a woman, and as they say, it was all good in the hood. Genesis 2:25, the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. They were physically naked, yes, but what this also means is they had nothing to hide, right? It was all out in the open, pun intended. And fear did not exist. Right? They had nothing to hide, and fear didn't exist. Until Genesis 3. The serpent was the shrewdest, hang on to that word, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals. And the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? The devil pierces paradise. The origin of fear. Right, before this, the man and woman weren't even aware of their needs. Right, they existed, God just gave them everything and they thrived in his presence. And then the devil arrives, and what did he bring with him? Fear. Right? He made them aware of their needs. Made them afraid they didn't have enough. He caused them to desire more, and he led them to doubt God. And the devil, if we look at that, he's labeled as shrewd. Right? He's the shrewdest of all the animals. A more accurate translation of that word is subtle. The devil is subtle. The devil and the fear that he brings into our lives is subtle. It's not a flashing, buzzing neon light that points to fear, but it's a slow and a subtle questioning and tempting. Right? Rather than smash you over the head, what the devil does is he leads you away from God. He creates room in you for fear. That's what he did in the garden. He created space for fear to exist. Right? The Bible says that God's love drives out fear. So the only hope the devil has is to take our attention and pull us away from God to create space for fear, just like he did at the origin of fear. Oof, that's a lot. Who's ready for some good news? Anybody? Thank you. So, snow leopards are considered vulnerable by conservation groups, but recently good news came from northern Pakistan when four of these elusive beauties were seen together, and we've got footage. That didn't have anything to do with anything. I just thought we needed good news. It also revealed to me how bad my geography is. I hear Pakistan and I think hot, dusty desert, but there's mountains and snow leopards? I did not know that. Who's ready for more good news? Real good, valuable good news. Here it is. Here's your good news. Fear has an end. Fear will end. Fear has an expiration date, right? The devil brought fear into this world, and fear will leave this world with him. Here's from John's vision of the future in Revelation 20. He said, the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The devil drowns. The end of fear. There will be nothing subtle about his demise and the disappearance of fear. It will be very clear. So fear will end one day, but it's still with us today. Right? We're afraid to stop and smell the roses for fear of its thorns. It's hard to be present today because it's so easy to fear tomorrow. Right? We're even afraid to get excited because we might be disappointed. Fear had an origin, right? We saw it come into existence, and fear has an end. It will leave one day, but what do we do with it today? Because it's here right now. 1 Peter 5:7 gives us a solution for fear. Our solution for fear is give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Does that sound good? Anybody want to do that? Just give your worries and cares to God? I mean, that is pretty simple. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. One of the most brilliant men I know has a strong faith, but he told me he was sitting in a taco cabana one day and read that verse, and all the knowledge he had hadn't helped him, but is reading this and thinking, what if I took this seriously? What if I thought, God really cares about me? Right? Like I think we all want to do this, give our worries and cares to God, but here's the question, how? I've gotten pretty good at carrying my worry and my fear around, right? One in each hand keeps me balanced. So how do we let go of it? Peter goes on and says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. That's weird to me that he says, I care about you. I'll take your fear. Watch out for the devil. Isn't that weird? Like, feels like an odd juxtaposition to me. But in order to choose faith over fear, you have to know you have an enemy. Right? The devil is slowly making you aware of your needs, causing you to desire more, leading you to doubt God. And the devil is looking for someone to devour. And the truth is, he will devour someone, so don't let it be you. Oliver Cromwell, he held the title of Lord Protector of England in the 17th century. He told his troops, trust in God and keep your powder dry. That's gunpowder, not hair powder they wore back then. Trust in God and keep your powder dry. Next tattoo, anybody? Trust in God and keep your powder dry. What he means is, like, rest in who God is. Sit in your Father's lap and know he's got it, but stand firm in your faith. Faith. Faith is our weapon against the devil. Right? The devil flees from faith. When he subtly says, hey, come listen to me. God promises that stuff. You can't trust him. Come listen to me. Faith is what frees us from that. Our weapon is faith. His weapon is fear. Fear causes us to freeze, right? When we listen to his lies, we forget God's love. We doubt God's grace. We underestimate God's power, and we freeze. Fear freezes. Faith frees us. Right? Fear freezes, and we doubt God. Faith is living in the freedom of who God is. Saying, man, I know how the story ends. I know he's got it. I know I'm not responsible for it, so I'm going to live in freedom. Fear freezes. Faith frees us. An important thing to know about the devil, he is an opportunist. He is looking for the path of least resistance. And faith is the retaining wall that stops him. Right? Because he's looking for someone to devour. But when he comes across a mama praying outside her baby's bedroom, he will tuck his tail. When he encounters a man whose faith is alive, that roaring lion is reduced to a whimpering kitten. Right? When faith is a banner across your front door, he cannot fight his way in. The devil is powerless against prayer, and he fears faith. Because we have to know, God and the devil are not equals. Right? It's not, and if I knew Marvel and superhero stuff, I would say it's not Marvel and what's another one? DC, yeah. Not Marvel and DC. Christy's proud of me because sometimes I restrain myself from making jokes I want to. And that was one of those moments. God and the devil are not equals, right? They are not engaged in some epic battle of good versus evil because fear has an end. They are not equals. The devil is on the mat. His knockout is being counted down. That is how the story ends. But you better believe he wants to make the most of every second he has. That's why the Bible says, know your enemy and stand firm in your faith. These are northern bald ibises. I think the name's a little aggressive. They've still got some hair on top. You can see from this picture, they fly in a V formation to make flying easier. The bird in the front cuts through the air. The ones behind it are carried along in that current. It's a picture that hard things are easier when we're not alone. This is why Peter encourages us to remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. So in order to choose faith over fear, you have to know you're not alone. Because the devil would love for you to believe you are alone. He would love for you to believe that you are the only one who has ever felt this way. He would love you to believe that you are the only one who's hurting. You are the only one with fear. But that's a lie. You are not alone. In his book, The Four Loves, C.S. Lewis wrote, "Friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, 'What? You too? I thought I was the only one.'" So the fact that you are here today shows that you are not alone. There are men and women in this very room who have faced the same kind of suffering you face, who have the same fears that you have. There are older men in this room who've walked through the fear of not being able to provide for their family. There are women in this room who've walked through the unknown fears of motherhood for the first time. There's a high school senior who's walked through the fear of being a freshman. And there are college graduates who face the fear that you face. In this room, there are men and women facing the same fears we are. So what if we were honest and let each other in? We can, because you are not alone. So know that you have an enemy, know that you're not alone, and finally, know that you have God. It's our next slide. Know that you have God. 1 Peter 5:10, "In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation." You have an enemy, and you are not alone as long as you have God. And he invites us to share in his glory. So before we move on, just if you can just think about that for a moment. The Almighty, all-powerful, eternal God invites us to share in his glory. Like, I know how undeserving of that I am. I mean, just this morning, I was so aware of my anger and just my selfishness and my pride. And those are the words I can say in your fine company. I know how undeserving of that I am. You know how you are. But God invites us, knowing all that, to share in his glory. That's hard to wrap our heads around, and that's incredible. But it's an invitation you have to accept. Right? He offers it freely. You have an enemy. You're not alone. And if you don't accept his invitation, you reject his invitation and you remain alone. And the invitation stands. And it may be hard to accept that because of things you've done. And that's why it says God offered this in his kindness. Right? God's invitation to share in his glory is not based on you. It's based on him. Right? It's not because of anything you've done. It's because of what he has already done for you. And it is a free gift. He says, I know all that you've done. And here's my offer. The only responsibility to us is to accept it. Sharing his glory eternally is yours through faith in Jesus and is offered freely to you today. If you haven't accepted that invitation, I would love to talk with you. Come talk to Andres or Christy or Stephen. If you have accepted that invitation, there's a hard truth that the scripture today brings up. And it's this, it said it in the last verse, that God will allow suffering. That's hard. Why? James 1 tells us a little about this. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. You know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So one reason God allows suffering is so our faith will grow and we know him more. Right? In our suffering, in our fear, God proves his faithfulness and our faith grows. Our hearts that were frozen in fear thaw out and we begin to live in the freedom of who he is. But God does place time parameters on this. Right? It says, when you have suffered for a little while, there's a parameter on suffering. It is a little while. The time parameter on sharing his glory is eternal. Suffering's a little while. Being with him is forever. You'll suffer a little while. Then he will lift you up, restore you, strengthen you forever because he loves you. Know that you have God and that he loves you. And God's word is alive and speaking to you today. He's saying, I love you. I care about you. I will take your worry and your fear. So what if today you loosened your grip on it? Because he is good to take it. So those birds I showed you, the northern bald ibis, they were extinct in Central Europe for 300 years. The conservation efforts brought them back with the help of human foster parents. These aerial attendants are training the birds to learn how to fly their long-forgotten migration routes. But the birds have an enemy. Hunters nearly erase them from existence. But they weren't alone, and humans acted as guides to bring them back. And the birds recognize them even years later. When they see these human foster parents who save them from their enemy, they bow. And Peter encourages us to do the same, right? To recognize God who saved us from our enemy, right? To choose faith in God over fear of the devil and to humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. So give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Amen. I want to lead us in a physical expression during this teaching series. You don't have to do this. It is just an invitation, because sometimes it's just good to like physically represent what we're thinking about. So I'm going to pray for us, and I invite you, you don't have to make a show of it or anything, but just in your lap, you can just open your hands. It's just a practicing saying, God, I'm good at carrying my worries and my fears, but I'm just going to practice opening my hands and releasing it. So if you'd like to, feel free to do that. God, we open our hands, and we would love to say that we give all of our fear to you. But God, we know you can handle all of it, but we know it's a process of letting it go. So I pray that if there was a major, major fear we walked in with today, something that is taking our energy and our attention and our focus and our joy. God, that we would acknowledge what that thing is, acknowledge that you can take it. And so now we open our hands, we open it to you, and pray that you'd help us to do that. Help us throughout the day to say, oh, I give this to you, God, you can take it. We would do it tomorrow, we would do it this week. And it may be a real obvious fear, and it is something that we just need to know you have overcome it. So we trust it to you, God, that you are strong and faithful and good and able. So we give it to you. And God, also sometimes when I open my hands, I realize how little I have to offer you. I think of all the things I'm not, but I thank you for all that Jesus is. Thank you that we just started today saying that you will pull us out of the pit. You're not afraid to get your robe dirty to get in and rescue us. That we may be ashamed of the places we've been and the things we've done, but you welcome us with open arms. God, we thank you for that.